John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And let's pray together. Father, thank you again for your word this morning. Please, Lord, I know how you've helped me through this. You've strengthened me, and I wish the same for each person here. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your goodness and salvation. Please open our eyes this morning and strengthen us according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We looked at this last week, and I realize I took a journey last week on Jesus preparing us. I may have gone too far and trying to come around. This week I'm going to stay on one thought. And John 14, 15, and 16 is Jesus' last words before he prays the Lord's Prayer in John 17 for the disciples and us before he's crucified. He's 10 hours within the cross. So when you look at John 14, 15, and 16, it's Jesus saying, let me prepare you for what's coming. And I pulled that from verse number 29. Watch this, and we read it last week, but I'm going to more cover things that we did not get to cover last week. Look at verse 29, and now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Jesus is saying, I know what the future holds. He's already told, he's going to tell Peter, after he's risen from the dead, they're going to take you and stretch you forth. They're going to crucify you, Peter. None of the other disciples know. John doesn't know he's going to be boiled in oil and live through it. None of the other disciples know what's coming. Persecution is coming. God's going to use them. The apostles are the foundation, right? In the New Testament. But Jesus is saying, there's some things coming in the future that you have no idea, but I'm going to teach you some things right now so that when it happens, you'll have some things to pull from. So John 14, 15, and 16, I told you, I've read John 14 before many times. I love it. I use John 14, 6 when I go soul winning. Jesus saith unto him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Many of you have that memorized. It's great, but the mindset, if you could read it saying, what is Jesus trying to give you for the future? I'll joke about the future, and I don't want to mention the negative. You know, this morning we had, you know, I use it and I try to laugh with it, but the future is probably more uncertain for everybody now than it's ever been. Everybody's facing things they've never seen before, we've never dealt before. So I, as a pastor, as I read my Bible, as I pray, Lord, please give me what the people need, I think, what can I do to help you prepare for what's coming? Because I don't know what's coming. I know Jesus is coming. That's the only thing I know that's coming. Amen? But I know as we get closer to Jesus coming, the chaos is going to ramp up. It's not going to get better. So what can I do as a pastor to help you? And I want to use the Bible. I want to use the Scriptures. But I thought, and the Lord laid this on my heart last week, I told you about it, and I thought, I just started crying, and I said, thank you, Lord, and boy, just the peace that helped me. And last week we got to cover verse 1, let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God, believe also in me. And I think Jesus is saying, in what I'm going to teach you, you can tell if you're trusting me if these things are taking place. Let me give you an example. I call this, the name of the sermon this morning is how to know that if you're trusting Jesus. Because if you ask anybody, do you believe in God? Everybody in America goes, oh yeah, I believe in God. but you don't know if they're saved or not unless you find out what they mean by that, right? Well, if I asked you this morning, are you trusting Jesus? I'm sure everybody would say, oh, absolutely, 100%. Because this is America. Well, what would happen if we analyze John 14 and say, there's something coming where you're going to have to trust me? He's preparing the disciples. But let me give you some things you can see if you're trusting me or not to prepare. Because honestly, what is it that gets you through any hard time you've ever been through in the past or will go through in the future? It's your faith in the Lord, right? I picture the Lord, our Savior, teaching the disciples and saying, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. If you're scared this morning about anything, then you've let your heart be troubled and you're not trusting the Lord. Listen, you got to let me preach. You got to let me say, okay, then you put yourself to the test. Is there something? If you're going to bed at night with something on your mind and it's the same thing when you get up in the morning and it's the same thing on your mind and you're overwhelmed with a topic, then you're letting your heart be troubled. Or I told you last week, it's like a jar with sediment. And if you let the sediment settle, you can see through the water. But if you shake it, it becomes muddied. Jesus said, don't be shaken or muddied or troubled or disquieted about anything. How much are you trusting the Lord? My fear teaches me I don't trust the Lord like I think I do. Let me make this statement. I don't trust the Lord like I need to. Be careful for nothing. Philippians 4. But in everything, let your requests be made known. Supplications, thanksgiving, anything I'm concerned about, it ought to be a reminder to me to pray. Right? And I'm going to get into that with you a little bit this morning. But as you read John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Verse 2 and 3, Jesus is saying, I'm going to come and get you, and you're going to get to be with me. And we learned that that's a longing for heaven. I tell you things. Look, when I hear of disturbing things in the news, I do. I run to my Bible. Amen. Because who would have thought in the 80s we were dealing with homosexuality ramping up? Okay, in the 60s, it was sexual revolution, hippies, all that stuff. Nobody tells me what to do. Nobody knew that it was going to get worse. Well, then it went into homosexuality. Then in the 90s, it really took hold. And in the 2000s, then what took place? Transgenderism. So a guy can now literally go through surgeries and hormones treatments and become a something. An it. A Shem, a Herm, or part him, part she, part whatever. That was in the 2000s. We thought it was going to stop there. 10 years ago, it has now started getting into what? Pedophilia. We never would have thought. We never would have thought. You mean it's going to go that far? This week, I saw three different articles from three different sources on how people are, and they're putting it on social media now, and I think it came out a week and a half ago. Okay, I'm only going to mention it once, and then we're going to move on. But people are raping babies. Does everybody see the progression? It's getting worse. It's getting darker. Nobody would have fathomed that. We back in the 70s, homosexuality, that's gross enough. Who would have known that's where it was headed? When I read those, saw them, I was like, oh. I showed them to my wife. My wife said, honey, this world is so wicked. Can I show you a verse that as the world exposes itself, it becomes more, I've always believed the Bible, but there's parts. Look, keep your finger right there in John 14. Go back near Revelation to 1 John chapter 5 and look at verse 19. It's a verse I have underlined in my Bible. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and look at verse 19. Yeah, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. 1 John 5, look at verse 19. And we know that we are of God. And look at this phrase. Look at what God tells us. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. Unless you see the filth of the world, and I don't want to, and I'm not advertising the filth of the world, but how, the whole world? We would read it. If you didn't know anything about what I just told you, you'd go, well, not the whole world. Okay, most of the world. No, the whole world lieth in wickedness. They said the amount of children they are rescuing from the sex trafficking in the past year has been over 40,000 in America alone in 1 year. What does God see when He sees our country? The only reason that's happening is because it sells. If it wasn't marketed and did not make billions, they'd stop it and they'd move on to something that makes money. It's happening because it's making millions and billions of dollars. They said the sex trafficking industry in America, not the world, in America, President Trump said it is America's greatest problem. Nancy Pelosi says it's global warming. No, it's the sex trafficking. I'll say it again and then we're going to move on. What does God see when He sees our country? How filthy and wicked. No, the whole world lieth in wickedness. It's all filthy. I personally, you start looking at this and the things, it makes me think, yeah, I think part of this, I think America's under the judgment of God. More of California is on fire than has ever burned 3 million acres and blah, blah, blah. I'm not for anybody dying. I'm not for anybody suffering. But this has never happened before to this scale. I think America's under the judgment of God. And I wish it would stop. But dear Lord, have mercy on us. As a country, you mean that's how we use our millions? We're number 19 in the world on financing missionaries. Do you know who number one is? You know who sends out more missionaries than any other country in the world? The Philippines right now. They're the number one missionary sent. You know why? Because, you know, people, you know, church attendance is going down and people spend their billions and millions on filth. The whole world lieth in wickedness. Go back to John 14. Go back to John 14. I told you all of that because John 14, 2 and 3 is Jesus saying, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you and you get to be with me. And now let me go back to the sermon. And you trust the Lord as much as you're looking forward to heaven. And when I find out the horrible things that are taking place in this world, it makes me long for heaven. I can't fix those problems. And I think if you got in their way, they'd kill you. Life's cheap when it gets over $1 million. That's just the old statement. You better not get in their way. That doesn't make me not want to take a stand for the Lord or not go soul winning. It just lets me know those are wicked people. We live 40 miles from the Beltway. I don't think all of them, praise the Lord, are filthy, but I think the majority of them are. You do know that there's a $350 billion slush fund for Congress for sexual allegations to be covered up with. Not 350 million, $350 billion is set aside every year in America. I thought, Lord, if any of that's left over, could I have a billion? Man, I'll get some more buses. Man, give me a million. I think I could support 20 missionaries and put $1 million in a fund where they'd never have to go on deputation and they could just immediately go to the field and stay there and never have to come back home and always draw from there. Give me $1 million, boy. Ain't going to happen. We'll watch the world spend it on its filth. But Jesus said, in your trust, are you longing to come to heaven? Are you longing because of the vileness of this world and its sin? You get to be with me. There's no sin in heaven. Amen. Look at now, verse number 6. I showed you last week. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can tell if you're trusting the Lord if Jesus is your only way of getting to heaven. If it's Jesus plus church plus anything else, you're not trusting the Lord. That the word believe means to solely rely upon. And Jesus is saying, don't forget. See, the Bible's not an inclusive book. The Bible doesn't say everybody gather around the Bible. The Bible is exclusive. If you're reading the Old Testament, if you ain't a Jew, I'm sorry, you missed it. I ain't a Jew, I'm Gentile. The word Gentile, it means heathen. That's my heritage. When you read the Bible, God says, I'll give you salvation, but there's only one way you get saved. And if you'll ever be saved, it'll be through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It won't be any other way. And people don't like that. Well, where's your tolerance? Where's your inclusiveness? No, we all need difference of opinion. No, when you come to the Bible, God says, this is what I said, this is what I meant, and your trust is in the Word of God, in what God has declared. It's not in, well, that's my interpretation as far as, no, how else do you interpret verse 6? I am the way to heaven. I am the truth about heaven, and I am the life that you need to live eternally, and no man comes to the Father except through me only. Believe it, disbelieve it, it's my way or the highway. Or another H word, okay? Are you trusting the Lord? Jesus said, gives you a little checklist. Then verses 7 through 11, we covered last week how Jesus said he's God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father's in me, I'm in the Father. And that's verses 7 through 11. Now let's look at another checklist. So Jesus says, are you trusting me? How much are you trusting me? Look at verse 12. It says here, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, Jesus isn't saying if you know about me. If you believe or rely only upon me to get you to heaven, he that believeth on me, watch, the works that I do shall he do also. If you're saved, Jesus said, there is a conviction of the Holy Spirit of God for you to be like the one who died for you. All of us are at different levels, right? But Jesus said, if you believe on me, you will want to, in some capacity, do what Jesus did when he was here on this earth. And if the Christian life means nothing, you could be backslidden. I'm not saying you're lost. But isn't that when Jesus is saying, if you believe on me, you will want to do what I did when I was here on this earth? Well, how do you take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and put it in a nutshell? I think several verses do it. Can you keep your finger there? Go to Acts 10:38. Watch this. Acts 10:38. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, I think, gives one of the beautiful pictures here of our Savior. I think Hebrews chapter 7, several places we could go, but let's just stick here at Acts 10:38. Watch this. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. There's things that Jesus did here on this earth that you can't do, you and I can't do. Okay? Healing would be one of them. I've prayed for people. I have seen God heal people. I saw, we prayed for a girl, a teenage girl. She had 38 tumors in her body. I've seen God heal. She went to the doctor the next day. They were all gone. I've seen God heal. But there is a limit to the healing. For instance, if you were born without arms, and that Jesus could touch somebody and their hand could go forth whole. That's not going to happen in the New Testament. You read John chapter 14, he said, the works that I do, they testify that I am God in the flesh. Okay? Us, we ain't God in the flesh. So there's some miracle. Does that mean the works that I do, shall he do also if you believe on me? Does that mean you're going to feed 5,000 with 2 loaves of bread and 3 fishes? No. Does that mean you're going to rise people from the dead and break up a funeral someday before you die? No. And personally, I don't want to see that. I told you about that. Does that mean, what else did Jesus do? He commanded nature. Remember, the sea was raging and he said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. No, you're not going to control nature. But what could you do if you were going to be a Christian? What if you were going to trust the Lord? Then God has to be able to work through you to do what? Number one, I think according to Acts 10:38, if you're going to do the works Jesus did, you need to seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And if you're not asking God to fill you, you're not filled. You don't accidentally get filled with the Holy Spirit. you get filled because Luke 11:13 says you ask him. And so I can take the first part of Acts 10:38 and I can say, when was the last time you asked the Holy Spirit of God to fill you as a Christian? It's what Jesus did when he was here. Now, he was 100% God, 100% man, and he was filled above measure, the Bible says. But if you're not asking God to fill you, you can't be a Christian. You can be saved, but you can't be like Jesus. Do you understand? What's the next part of Acts 10:38 say? It says he went about doing good. I may not raise the dead, praise God, not going to happen. I may not command nature, but I can go about doing good, filled with the Holy Spirit. That, I believe, is being a Christian. He that believeth on me, if you'll trust God enough to use you tomorrow on your way to work, at work, on your way home, God can use you if you'll seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And God wants you to... I don't know who I'm going to meet tomorrow. I think I do. But God leads people... The world calls it random acts of kindness. The Bible says we're to all to be like Jesus, going about seeking, doing good. If I'm going to be like Jesus, I'm supposed to seek to do good. Lord, help me to be like you today. Are you trusting the Lord? You're trusting the Lord. He's trying to get the disciples to say, you're going to act just like me to the degree you trust me. Because when the chaos breaks out, you're going to be tempted to, every man for himself. When the chaos breaks out, trust Jesus enough that he can use you in the chaos to go about doing good. He's trying to prepare the disciples. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, you'll do also if you can trust me instead of, oh, well, I got to watch out for me, old number one. You're right. The majority of the people will act that way. How much are you trusting the Lord? I'm using verse 12. I'm trying to use it with this mindset in approaching it. And can I tell you something? It helped me as a Christian, one who's like Christ. That's not for a pastor. It's for you if you're saved. If you've believed on Jesus, God's going to lead you across people's paths that need to see Jesus. And unless you show them Jesus, they'll never see him. I was talking to a preacher this week. He said when 9/11 broke out, the towers came down. It was about a 2-3 week window where churches were flooded in America with people. People were scared. Never happened before, right? He said we had a small section of revival in it. And the Lord was able to use it. He said, you know what's sad about this COVID thing? They banned people from going to church. So when disease is breaking out and people are scared, they don't have any place to go. So they stay at home and do drugs and molest children and commit suicide. Isn't that sad? When a disaster happened, they shut off the churches. Boy, I don't know what the future holds. But I know, you know, we do things for our neighbors on our street. My wife takes watermelon to them in the summer. She takes cinnamon rolls to them for snow every time it snows. Everybody knows on our street, you get Mrs. Nash's cinnamon rolls. Glory to God. I don't care who gets them as long as I get them. All right? Them things will set you free. Amen. Okay? But we do things for our neighbors. I hope, I don't know what the future holds, but whatever it holds, I hope our neighbors know there's a pastor that lives at the end of our road. And we can go to him and he'll help us. And I hope they do. I think you should have the same testimony in your neighborhood. I don't know everything about those folks, and they're not there on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, but if I need help, I can go to them. They'll help me. We're supposed to go about doing good. In the future, he's preparing. Let's go on to verse 13. Watch verse 13 and 14, because Jesus uses a topic here. Go back to John 14. I don't normally preach successive messages, and I don't want you to think that I don't, you know, doesn't he have anything else to preach? But this has just been a help to me. I only got to cover a couple of verses last week, but I really want this to help you as a Christian. How much are you trusting the Lord? Keep that theme as you go through. Now look at verse 13 and 14 and watch this. It says here, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Boy, he just filtered all the prayers. He said, if you want to be used by God in the future, he's talking to Matthew, who's going to get filleted alive in Ethiopia. Matthew has no idea. He's talking to Barnabas that's going to get staked to the ground. They're going to drive stakes straight through him. They're talking to Thomas, who in India is going to get put in an oven and burned to death. They have no idea what's coming. And he said, for the Father to glorify the Son in your life, whatever you ask me, I'll do. When the chaos breaks out, when your life becomes out of control, don't lose sight of prayer. How much are you trusting God? Can you trust God enough to where when whatever's coming in the future, whatever it is, you can say, okay, what did Stephen pray when he was getting stoned and they're hitting him in the head with rocks? Father, lay not this sin to their charge. He said, when you're going through it, that's what encourages me about this. Can you trust God enough to pray when it breaks out? See, you know what scares me? I hear people, oh yeah, I pray. Let me help filter through your talking to the Lord in just a second as a pastor. Most of you don't pray. A few of you do. Most of you, you talk to the Lord and you tell God things that He already knows, but you don't ask Him anything. Prayer means to ask. You don't ask God's help. You vent your frustration in your prayer, and you are talking to the Lord, but that's how come some of you, when you stop praying, you're more frustrated after you pray than before you started praying. Because you're not asking God help. You're not giving Him things. You're saying, Lord, you know, this is going on, and God already knows that. Do you trust Him enough to ask Him to help you so that your life can glorify the Lord in whatever you're going to go through? Are you trusting the Lord to ask God? Watch this. If you're not praying now, you're not going to pray then. We've all heard of jailhouse religion, right? Everything's fine till you get put in the slammer, and then it's kind of like, okay, Lord. Oh, how about this? Parachute religion. We only pray when there's a disaster, right? So on your way, oh, Lord, help the parachute to open. Oh, thank you, Lord. Lord, you get me out of this, and I'll be a missionary to the pygmies in Australia or whatever. And then when you land, whew, glad we're out of that one, and then the commitment meant nothing. I think God can use hard times to remind you that you're not in control. And I think there are some good things that come from that when you pray. But can I tell you something? If you're not praying now, when I got up this morning, and I thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for hot water. We ate last night. I ate the table with my wife. And Lord, thank you for the food. We've never been without food. I don't know what it's like to not be able to eat. Unless I was fasting and I wanted to miss a meal. Thank you, Lord. I put on my suit this morning. Thank you, Lord. I have nice clothes. I'm thankful. I got my shoes. Amen. I don't want to wait till I don't have it to wish I would have thanked God I did while I had it. Are you praying now, Christian? How much do you trust the Lord? Are you asking God His help now? Because look at the next verse in verse 14. It says, He says it again, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Two very strong, powerful prayer promises. How much are you trusting the Lord? He's trying to prepare the disciples for what's coming. They don't. He knows what's going to happen. But they don't. Let's move on to the next. Watch this. Look at verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. So the greatest way you can express your love to the Lord is by making obedience to His word important. That's how much you trust the Lord. Do you trust? Is your faith in the Bible strong enough for you to obey what God said, or are they just a list of suggestions? And if it works out, great. If not, I live my life my way. Christian, we live in America. That's what we deal with. I don't want to live in a persecuted society, but go to church in China tonight, underground, where every one of them are there at the risk of their life, and probably you'll have a higher commitment rate, right? I don't want to live in China. I don't want to live in Russia. But we live in a free society. Christian, if you love me, keep my commandments. And just so you get that, how much are you trusting the Lord? He says, this is what happens if you obey me. Look over at verse 21. He gives four verses here, 21, 22, 23, and 24. And he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Now, we know God doesn't play favorites, but let me tell you one of the benefits of obeying God. When you make obedience, when you trust the Lord enough. Because see, remember what I told you? When chaos breaks out or whatever we're going through that we've never faced before, it's like, what's happening? Oh no, I got to look out for me. No, if you will focus on obeying what God told you to do when the times are hard, you can feel His love and His presence. I'll manifest myself to Him. And when others are losing it, if you'll trust God enough to obey Him, God says, I can let you feel my presence and that I'm in control. But and that's the tendency. We love God when things are going good, when the bills are paid, when it's easy. But when we get in the trials, do we remember to go back to the Lord and say, God, I need your help. I'm going to seek to obey. For instance, remember what I told you when we were getting ready to open up church? We didn't know if we were ready to do so. I said, we can skip civil disobedience and just go right to secret meetings. Our forefathers for 1,000 years met when it was illegal. They've always had church when it was illegal to do so. We don't have to meet wondering if the police are going to come in. If it comes down to that again, we can start meeting like our forefathers did. They met at night, 11 o'clock at night. We can meet back at the pavilion. We'll start having secret meetings. Well, we will meet. Versus, well, I guess we just can't have church anymore. If you love me, keep my commandments. How much do you trust me to put what I've told you, number one, so you can feel my love and feel my presence and let me manifest myself to you? I feel sorry for those that aren't having church when they could. Shame on them. Well, we don't have to turn on the air conditioning. We just video and people watch at home and watch in their jammies and drink their cappuccino and scratch. That ain't church. That ain't church. I feel sorry. If you love me, when the chaos breaks, can you trust me? I wanted to cover some more with you. We're out of time this morning. Let's pray. Father, please use this truth. I wish, Lord, these people, Lord,